Welcome to the AIMS Heartbeat Podcast, a monthly brief interview with social services, civic, education, and business leaders about life in Ames and Story County. This podcast is produced and presented by the Serve Ministries of Christ Community Church, committed to the pursuit of common good while sharing the uncommon news of the gospel in and from Central Iowa, right here where God has placed us, because loving Ames means knowing Ames.
Hello and welcome. I'm Wayne Stewart, Serve Pastor at Christ Community Church in Ames, Iowa, and your podcast host. Betsy Megaljais is the director of Foundations Learning Center, working to provide safe, affordable, and gospel-centered childcare for the flourishing of families in Story County. Betsy has degrees in child, adult, and family services and early childhood education, both from Iowa State University, where she truly discovered a passion to learn, grow, and develop her understanding of families and early childhood education. In addition to her role at Foundations, she has served at Iowa State University's Child Development Laboratory School, partnering with ISU's education programs, coaching and supporting ISU students in their pursuit of bachelor's degrees. Well, Betsy, thank you so much for coming in for the podcast today. I appreciate you rescheduling with the, I would hope that we could do some recording over virtually in the future, but for right now, having you in the studio is great, and thank you for dropping by. I've been looking forward to this conversation. We've had five or six now that have been really enlightening for me, community leaders coming in, and us trying to get a conversation around four basic things. One, where might Ames be doing some things well? Secondly, where might Ames have some challenges? Third, if there was one thing that you would like the church to know specifically, and then lastly, as a leader in our community, if there was one thing that people of goodwill but potentially divergent opinions could get together on, what might that be? So let's start with number one. From your position of leadership in our community, where do you think some things are going well in Ames?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've kind of pondered over it over the last couple weeks as we've just been delaying and moving backwards. But it's that piece of Ames is doing a really great job of seeing the needs of families. And there's been a lot of initiatives and pushes, especially since 2019. There was a study that came out, and that's kind of how we got started, of being a childcare desert. And that need in Ames and Story County for families to be able to continue to work, there needed to be more childcare. And so there have been a couple different local childcare centers that have multiplied to meet that need, which is great to see. But then also we came out of that as a piece of it where it's, hey, there's actually a huge need for families who are poverty impacted or who aren't on that upper socioeconomic status to have affordable childcare that's still just as safe and just as high quality. Yeah. And so Ames is phenomenal with having Iowa State and having a teacher prep program of having high quality childcare in those pieces. I've seen a lot of growth with just people being educated in what does it take to raise a child? What does it take to care for a child as a holistic human? But then beyond that, what does it take to care for a family? I listened to your other podcast too, and like Dan Culhane talked about that of childcare desert and all those pieces. And when Kara was talking through with the YSS and pieces of mental health, it's like we've seen those huge pushes for mental health supports, and our families that we're trying to target and serve fall in those categories. And so you're finding that piece of just kind of, okay, how do we look at them and see mental health, but also care for a family and care for young children? Because if a parent's struggling with mental health, then their child is going to potentially struggle with that as well. And so some of those trend line things have been a big piece for Ames lately.
Yeah, great. I've heard over and over in these conversations that there are some very basic needs that often are the piece that's holding people back from either finding stability in their lives or moving towards stability. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, but I hear again that childcare is one of those things. And then when you say it, I go, well, yeah, that makes total sense. But I think at times I have maybe overlooked the what seem like when it is explained to me, things that are tangible to do, which is also encouraging because all of this at times, the needs in our community and across our country feel overwhelming. But then they get broken down into these steps that are like, yeah, but there's two things here that could really make a big difference in these overwhelming sort of conditions. So I'm really glad to hear that. And I think I was surprised when Dan brought it up back on the first podcast that we were a childcare desert. I hadn't heard that term before. And that really, I think, was a bit surprising to me. So, okay, so we're seeing the need, okay, and it feels like there's some agencies and some organizations that are stepping in, some increase in some of the childcare opportunities that are always there, but yours is a bit unique in some ways, right?
Yeah, so our childcare center, when we started, the goal was we're a childcare desert, so creating spots for families, but then specifically with a vision of 50% of families are poverty impacted. Mm. And that can mean a lot of different things. When we started, it meant they qualify for state government assistance, which the state does a phenomenal job running that program. It's still all of the layers of state funding and those pieces, but the hoops and the things that they have set up for parents to go through to prove the need are really clear. And so parents have to be working a certain number of hours a week. It's 32 right now. It was 28 before, so they've even upped that ante. They have to prove that, like, financial burden, that they're struggling, they're under the federal poverty level by a certain percentage. And then the state will step in and say, hey, we'll support the payment for that. Another piece with childcare assistance that's huge is they'll support students in high school or in undergraduate education to have childcare while they're getting those diplomas. Oh, wow. Yep. And so if you think of teen parents, that's a huge need. They have to go to school or they won't be able to get those jobs that can get them to those places if they're struggling with literacy and things like that. Yeah. It's that layer that we want to see those families and those needs. And so when we opened, we did hit 50% really quickly. It was so fast, and we have never been under 50% enrollment for childcare assistance. But as we've gone through in the past 2 years, we've seen, just because a family doesn't qualify for childcare assistance doesn't mean they're not impacted by poverty.
Yeah, sure.
And so you have those families that it's a single parent household. They have to have childcare to go to a job, but they're still working a job that isn't paying enough to cover what Ames is in cost of living.
Yeah.
And part of that is, like, it's phenomenal that Ames has Iowa State, Workiva, those big businesses that bring in high paying positions. But if you're someone who's underneath that, you're competing for childcare slots with people who can pay significantly more.
Yeah, right.
And so it's great, the diversity, but it has led kind of to that lack of, well, if you're a cliff effect where you don't qualify for state assistance, but you don't make enough to compete with those local businesses and those local and big entity pieces of Ames, then what do? Because you can't afford it still. And so we started to shift some of our income cutoffs to include those families. They don't qualify for childcare assistance, but they're going to pay that same rate that childcare assistance would pay.
Wow.
Which, again, we're still sitting 50, 60% of our families are in that income bracket.
Okay.
And it's just shifted what we see. And we've partnered, we've specifically partnered with Cornerstone Church, but we're hoping to partner with more local entities to find scholarship funding.
Yeah.
Because that single parent who's paying the same as childcare assistance still needs financial support. We are getting connected to rental assistance. We're getting connected to the food pantries and different, like, families that qualify for childcare assistance likely qualify for FIP and SNAP, those government food programs. So we're trying to get those pieces in place for these families, but it's a lot of pieces working together to make a really big puzzle make sense. And so it's a lot to kind of overcome in those pieces.
Yeah, great. I love the clarity of especially the two demographics that you've identified, right? The one that would qualify by means of the parameters that are put in place by the state for assistance there, but then also recognizing this gap that exists within our community and saying we've got to be able to do something about that as well. And it feels to me like you're playing the long game, right? By playing the short game a little bit, right? There's some immediate needs that we really want to step into so that the long game will be better for people. So that's fantastic. Sounds like maybe we got at a little bit of question number two there in a great conversation, right?
Yeah.
Some of the things maybe that are a challenge in our community. Is there anything else that you would add to that?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways where it's the challenge of there's a lot of diversity, so there's a lot of competition. We do have some great childcare centers that they specifically serve those populations. There's Iowa State child care centers that are geared specifically towards Iowa State families, which helps differentiate between those pieces. But then we also have, sorry, train of thought. That was the bus alarm. So welcome to my job. I get the bus every day. Sorry.
There you go.
Jewel will do it today. Yeah. But it's just that piece too of like, there's that.
You get to drive a bus?
We get to meet the bus. So that's one of our community partners.
Man, I was thinking you were going to get to drive a big old bus.
No, we partner with Northwood Preschool in that. So anyway, we can get back to that partnership piece of everything. Because it is, it's, okay, back to train of thought. Sorry, Wayne.
Love the, it's stream of consciousness is all good.
Yeah. Well, and that is the big piece of what I do a lot is there's just so many layers to everything.
Yep,
so you can start on one thing and you'll land 20 steps down the road going, wait, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. Because everything stacks on itself. Yep. So a piece that we have found specifically for some of our families that's lacking is those connections to resources. For a family who doesn't have a computer, who doesn't have internet access, to get signed up for childcare assistance, there is a need to have the internet because it's an internet application. There is the option to mail in that application, but then you need postage and you need to get to the post office or somewhere that you can send that through. And so just those tiny obstacles for families. But then also thinking through different, trying to think through all the things. I have a lot of notes here. But how do you offer even that high quality care if you don't have the income? And I think that's a piece that kind of we've breezed past, but the difference in that child care assistance rate to competitive rate. I haven't said it in numbers, but in numbers, it's $300 a month per child.
Okay.
And so you're talking about $300 a month in the frame of like your income or what you pay, that's kind of a big impact.
Sure.
Especially with, I don't know, hot topic things, inflation, groceries have gone up in cost. And so even if you qualify for FIP and SNAP programming, the cost of that food is more. So you're getting less even for that assistance funding.
Right. And they probably haven't increased to match, right?
No.
Yeah.
And that's the other piece is childcare assistance. The state has worked so hard, and I don't want to breeze past that. They've worked so hard to implement programs and grant funding to support childcare. In our first 2 years, we got $150,000 from the state to support childcare. But post-COVID, a lot of that has stopped. And so those rates for childcare assistance, before COVID, they were getting updated 2-3 years at a time. But then since COVID, they got updated when we opened. So we kind of started at that rate. And they were updated again this last April. And so they have increased, but it's still not a substantial increase. It's incremental. But then you're thinking, how does the state do that? And it's, okay, AIM specific, this is what our economy is. Statewide Iowa, there's a lot of rural there. And so what rural communities need is a lower amount because their cost of living is different. And so that's kind of the piece coming from a state that doesn't have as much urban, and we are, as Ames is, we're right on the edge. We are an urban center, especially when you add in the Iowa State students and all of the university and campus. Sorry, I've gotten really off track here. We're just going everywhere.
No, that's great. I think those are really great pieces of answering that second question of what are some of the challenges that we find here. And I think I've found this in all of the conversations as well, that as much as Ames is like one of these unique environments because of sort of just in the middle of Iowa, you know, a smallish city, but with the university and the way that that stabilizes the economy some and also raises prices overall, both for housing and everything else, then you go, okay, but that is going to create some gaps, right? Because not everybody is living at those economic levels within the boundaries of Ames and Story County. So those feel like real challenges, and I think those have come across in all the conversations. So the third question then would be, if there's one thing that you want the church to know, what would that be?
That the people who need the support are your neighbor. They're literally living in your neighborhood. I think that's the interesting piece of everything is specifically where I live, I can identify two or three families that I know that it's like, actually, they're right on the edge. It's someone that you know who is working, like you go through Burgies every single morning, and some of those employees are single parents. And so they are having the same struggles. If you're going through McDonald's, Taco Bell, those fast food restaurants, a lot of the employees who are there during the day are single parent households or dual income households that they're working those part-time jobs. They don't have health insurance. They don't have PTO. And so they have obstacles to overcome. And so they're the people that you're walking alongside every single day, and you're seeing them and saying, oh, they're okay. They have a job. And it's like, well, actually, when you add in rent and groceries and all of the pieces for health insurance, it's they have a job and it's getting the bases covered barely. Right. And then you add in childcare and it's that's sometimes 50% of their income.
Yeah. And getting things covered barely again is living within that zone in which one or two major setbacks sort of out the entire picture at that point, right? Yeah.
We've had families that their car breaks down, they miss 1 week of childcare, they lose their job, their car's still broken, they have no income, they have no childcare, and they're back to square one. What do you do? How do you do it? You might have the food program, you might have the housing, but if you don't have that income, you still can't do anything. You're stuck in reaching out for resources and trying to find community. And that's a piece too, like our parents, specifically our single parents, are like, well, I'm just trying to survive. Like, I don't have friends. I don't have community. I'm in a stage of life where I don't have time for that. And it's like, well, actually, what if we could see as a church how to be their community, how to walk alongside them and say, hey, I'm a parent who gets the privilege to stay at home with my kids. It's a huge joy for our parents who do that. And I know so many women who do it. And it's like, well, what if you said, I'm home with my baby. Who could I meet up with when they get off work and spend some time with them so they feel loved with their baby? That they have other kids for their kids to play with and someone who's like, hey, I care about you and I'm just going to spend time with you so that you don't feel so alone in the world that you're living in.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I think that would be such a tangible way in which the church would be visible in those individual relationships. I'll give a short plug for the Caffeine and Chaos time here every week at our church, where moms can just come and hang out with their kids and play in the gym during bad weather months. And so while that might not be the one-on-one, right, which could yield some really, really cool things as well, there's an opportunity at Christ Community Church. If you're listening to this, bring your kids, have fun.
Another one that's great for that is Obria Clinic has actually started a mom's community group.
Oh, yeah.
It's in its initial phases, but I'm really excited to see where it goes because I think that they're using space at Harvest Vineyard Church, and Harvest has said, hey, we want to open this up, and they provide an option for kids, and then the parents can sit and talk and chat and have some community. And again, it's in its initial phases. You can check on Obria and kind of what that looks like, but it's that piece of even if you're a working mom, you can't always meet during the day, so here's an evening option that also helps care for your kids.
Yeah, I love the creativity of seeing people with individual sort of ideas and dreams about a specific need and then stepping into that. I think that's fantastic. All right, well, let's close up with the last question then. In an environment that can be sometimes challenging over, I don't think the question of whether the challenges exist and what they necessarily are so much. I think generally if people get good information, they can see that. But I think the next step is a hard one in our current situation, and that is what to do about it and what to do together about it. So if you were thinking a way that maybe people of divergent opinions could come together and go, you know what, this is something we can link arms on easily and make a difference, what would that be?
Yeah, I kind of had some answers for that. And then how you asked, I'm like, maybe those don't fit anymore. But I think a piece of all of it is looking at how can we support the local places? Mm-hmm. What can we do for local entities in Ames and Story County? Because getting that money back into our environment, into our economy specifically, is really going to help households like this, where it's they're working at this local entity. They're trying to make that pay cut. And just supporting that way. One of the things that I was going to say to this question, and again, asking it differently, is just that affordability piece. What makes something affordable? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the piece of realizing that childcare assistance and needing state subsidy doesn't necessarily mean that you, like, aren't working or you're leaning on the government too much. It's, hey, you're proving that you're working 32 hours a week, you're in school, or you're pursuing that next thing. And there's partnerships with that where it's like the people who are needing this support are not just laying down, doing nothing, getting some handouts. And I think that's something I come across a little bit is, well, aren't they just not working or aren't they? And it's like, actually, every single one of our parents is working. One of my parents recently was laid off of her job. And she's like, well, I have childcare assistance for now, so I'm going to work my butt off to find a job. And she's been applying and applying and applying. And in the meantime, she's working those delivery food options where it's like, hey, I can make a couple bucks doing this just to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And so even things like that where it's like your Uber Eats driver needs a tip because mm-hmm. that might be their only income, even though they're applying everywhere else.
Yeah. Great. No, I think that awareness helps us too with maybe some missed perceptions, right, at times. And having those things corrected is always a good growth position to be in. So, is there anything for you right now as you're seeing foundations develop and grow and serve that is like hot topic for you, top of mind, the thing that when you get up in the morning, you're like, I got to spend some time on this today, project, an initiative, something like that?
There's a couple things right now. I have lots of things in the fire all the time. But we specifically have started a program called Teach, and it's a program through the state of Iowa that supports education for people interested in working in childcare or early childhood education. And so they will partner with people working in childcare centers. So I have one employee who qualifies and others who are applying, where they can get their CDA, associate's or bachelor's degree while working to then better the workforce in childcare. And that's a game changer for childcare across the board. And it's a game changer for us as an entity because it secures employees and keeps us functioning with staff. But then it also just teaches everyone, hey, this is what a child needs to grow and thrive.
Yeah.
The other one that we work on a lot right now, it's called IQ4K, and it's for childcare specifically again. It's called Iowa Quality for Kids. And so it's kind of a rating scale of, is this a high quality center for children? Are you providing care that's meeting the needs of kids and doing it in a really high quality, best practice type of way? And that's kind of my background piece is, all of the educational piece matters. And so we're not just taking care of kids for the day. We are, hey, how do we teach literacy? How do we teach math? How do we teach social skills? How do we teach emotional regulation to children who are in high stress environments? Because when you're 2 years old and you think about this terrible twos, all those emotions come from somewhere and you need to learn how to manage them because otherwise you end up down the road in YSS and other programs because you never learned those skills. And so that's kind of my educational platform plug. I could talk forever about that. But those two things are always in the fire. There's just a lot right now too of like, how do we, as what we are as a business, as a nonprofit, how do we find connections to support us? How do we make it a network of places and not just, oh, we're an independent place? And some of that looks like I know several directors of other centers, and we're trying to kind of build partnerships of childcare is a community. The centers should be supporting each other. It should be, hey, your child is not the perfect fit for this center because of their temperament, because of our vision, of our mission. But this is another affordable center that has different things that your child could do that would better fit their needs. It's the same thing as goodness of fit at your workplace. There are some people who thrive really great in fast, busy places all the time. And then there are people who are like, I want to sit at my desk and I want to do my own thing and I'm happy by myself. Kids are exactly the same way. So the environment that you put them in matters, and there should be a partnership to find the best environment.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Great. Well, I want to say thank you from our congregation for all that you're giving of yourself to, and pass that on, please, to your staff. We love what's going on there. And from the moment that I heard about sort of the creative approach and the ways that you were hitting areas in our community that maybe are not served by some of the other options that are out there, I just was super excited and so thankful to have you on today. So if people want to get in touch with you, but what's the best way?
Yes, they can email me at director@foundationsaims.org. Or they can give us a call, 515-206-9068. You'll likely either get me or my assistant director. It goes to both of us. But those are the best ways. You can go to our website and find out just more information about programming and things like that at foundationsaims.org. And those are kind of the three main ways to get a hold of us and find out what we're doing. We've started kind of a partner newsletter too. And so if you have a lot of questions about that, you can email and I'll get people connected, to kind of see more month to month what we're doing in a more tangible, realistic, hey, this is feet on the floor, what this looks like.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to the Ames Heartbeat Podcast. Check out more episodes at ccames.org/podcasts or on many of your favorite streaming services.